You are listening to the Pencil and Paper Podcast Network.
And welcome back to Super Mega Crash Beyond. I'm your host, Stephen White. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Lacey Finley.
Well, happy Monday.
Monday, isn't it? Yeah.
It is a Monday.
It's a little discombobulated this morning for reasons that we all know why, but we're not going to explain it because people be like, no, that was weeks ago. And it's like, hey, shut up. Right now it's bothering us, and we'll just leave it at that, and you can piece it together on your own and figure out what we're complaining about right now, because I don't like it.
It's something we keep on insisting year after year after year, twice even.
Yeah, like, we gotta do this. No, we don't.
We got to.
We don't have
screw
to
screw the
this.
Light bulb. We gotta do this.
But, hey, I don't really feel like that has anything to do with our topic for the day. But,
even a little bit, but oh well.
Unless we find out that he is somehow responsible for it continuing, which I can't imagine.
Don't do that to me, man. Don't do it.
That, you talk about a stretch. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know.
We find out he's got that kind of power, and I'd be like, hey, we should have been talking to you about this a long time ago, man. I feel like if anybody would have the power, maybe.
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 So you wanted to talk about your favorite
person
in the world.
I know. I was actually thinking the other day, I'm like, how come I haven't made that a topic yet?
I don't know. Why hadn't you?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. I mean, there's just so much to talk about. And I know you're a fan also. Mm-hmm. So I figured it wouldn't just be me swooning for however long we talk, you know, like he's going to have stuff to say.
Sure.
About our man, the myth, the legend, the chin. Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Yes. Anybody who knows me knows it. I like him a little bit.
Maybe just a little.
Just a little. Yeah.
So I do want to ask, because I don't think I've ever asked this question before, and now seems like a good a time as any.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal? Where did this obsession begin?
You know, I was reflecting back on that the other day, because one of my questions was going to be like, do you recall when you were first like exposed to Bruce Campbell?
Hmm.
And I can pin it back to early high school for me. This friend of mine that used to be best friends in high school, she was a big Evil Dead fan. And so we used to stay the night at her house a lot because they, if you remember back when big screen TVs became a thing, but they were still like freaking huge, right? And just like thick and just took up an entire wall, you know, but it was so cool, you know, like big TV. It was freaking huge though. It was stupid how big it was. And so my first one was actually Evil Dead 2, believe it or not. So, like, it was a little bit weird to watch that one first because she was super excited then to go back and show me the first one. My mind could not comprehend why these two things were so different, but a sequel. You know, I was just like, what is happening here? But watching Evil Dead 2, I mean, he's basically it. In the movie,
yeah.
Right? So it's like a solo thing. Yeah, we kind of, you know, give you a breakdown of what happened in the first movie up to a certain point, you know, when he gets like hit, you know, by the evil, you know, kind of a little recap. A different recap, though, of course, because like the recap in Evil Dead 2 is just like him and his girlfriend goes to the cabin, which if you've seen the first one, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And first, I don't know, the charisma, the just how slapsticky the whole thing was just drew me. And I thought he was a good-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna lie, good-looking man. I still think He's a good looking man. I'll take my silver Bruce over and no Bruce any day. So it's something about that. And then as she kept moving through like the different stuff that he did, I just started to become more addicted because then like Jack of all trades. And then there was, what was the other one that we watched for a while? Because he like Man with a Screaming Brain. Or she would show me like all of these random movies that I just like, who is this man? And why is he finding all of this wonderful garbage to do? Yes, I said it, but it's wonderful. There's something about it that I loved. And then I just kept following him from there on out. Like, I wouldn't say obsessively. I'm sure there's stuff he's done that I've missed, even though I've actively tried to seek it out just because he did it. I just to be able to watch it once.
Sure.
I couldn't tell you. And I think once I started seeing him doing like panels and just like, I'm assuming his personality for the public. Maybe he's like that in real life too. I don't know. I don't know. Just so much freaking fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you could tell he enjoys what he does. He's thankful for the position that he's actually in and is going to write it and have as much fun with it as he can. And just something about the whole thing just clicked with me. I don't know.
Sure.
Love it. Evil Dead 2, though. First one on a big screen TV. I had no idea what I was watching. I mean, we're talking young teenager. Never really got to see any of that stuff. My mother didn't allow us to watch like scary movies and stuff like that. She was like, can't watch it. You're going to have nightmares. And she was right. First time I tried to watch a Freddy Krueger movie with my niece and nephew, I'm like, I can handle it. They're watching it. Nope. I was up all night. I was crying. He only kills you in your sleep. I had no reason to be watching that when I was so young. I couldn't fall asleep at all that night. So she was on to something. When did you first see him? Do you even know?
You know, it's weird to say that we have very, very, very similar experiences, and I'm not even joking, okay?
Oh, wow.
Because I'm sitting here listening to you tell the story, and I was like, are you fucking with me? Are you fucking with me? Do you know my story?
We've not had this conversation.
We have not, but this explain. I've always tried to find little things, and you wonder why you're drawn to somebody, and damn if this isn't just like almost bizarro world, okay?
See, we were just meant to meet, man.
Because
we were just meant to be friends.
My best friend in high school and grade school, you know, like he was my best friend for a long time.
Yeah.
He was the one that introduced me to the world of Bruce Campbell. But it was very similar but different. Because I'd heard the title Evil Dead 2, and I'd seen it at the video store and everything like that. I didn't know what it was, and I remember the very first time that it was ever explained to me. I still didn't watch it, but they said, it's not scary, it's kind of funny. And I was like, is it though? I didn't understand that. Like, those things did not compute. Horror was horror. It's not funny.
Did we have a lot of campy horror yet? We might have. Maybe I just wasn't watching it yet.
Right. And I think that's what it came down to, because I also had been introduced to horror, and I thought, hey, I can handle A Nightmare on Elm Street. Didn't get through it. Nope. I was like, no, I got to turn this off, man.
Yeah, this was a bad idea. Mistakes were made.
Because I was trying. I was like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, again, very young, probably shouldn't have been watching it, but I was trying because all my friends were doing it, or at least my one friend was doing it, and I wanted to be cool like
fine.
Him. Yeah. But one day it came around, like I had heard him talk about this movie, and Army of Darkness was getting ready to come out. And he was like, man, I want to go see this. You want to come with me? And I was like, sure. Never seen the movies. So luckily that recap at the beginning, I was like, okay, so I'm kind of getting an understanding of what's going on, but I'm still confused because there's a lot going on here and I don't know how he got here. And I'm really confused. So I watched them backwards. We went back to his house that night. Big screen TV.
See?
The big, bulky, big screen. And we watched Evil Dead 2 on that big screen and had kind of like an overnighter watching all these movies and stuff. So, yeah, it was very similar in that regard. And then, of course, very much like you, I just took note of him and was like, this guy's awesome. I like this guy. And I started trying to dig up things that he'd been in. Now, at the time, I felt like it was a little harder because we didn't have the internet. We couldn't just search what movies he'd been in. But I think the first non-Evil Dead movie that I watched of his, I'm almost positive it was Maniac Cop. Because I had seen his name attached to it, and I was like, he's in another movie. Mm-hmm. What is this?
What is he doing? Yep.
So I tracked that down and watched it. And I will say that, you know, because I thought, oh, okay, so this is a new franchise. This is a new thing. You know, this guy that I'm really think is awesome, I get to follow his movies. And so, yeah, when I got Maniac Cop 2, I was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Because
he makes the whole thing. Yeah. Like, you've really got to be a fan, I think, of him for some of these flicks. And he'd probably admit it too. Mm. I can't say a disparaging word against him, though. I can't do it. I can't.
But you see, now here's part of my story that I feel like is a little muddy. And maybe I'm getting some things mixed up, but I'm almost positive of what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But Darkman came out before Army of Darkness. And I know that same friend, I went over to his house to watch Darkman on VHS.
Okay.
So maybe I wasn't as familiar with him. Because I don't think I realized that was him at the end of Army of Darkness initially. Or at the end of Darkman, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, I was like, that just darkness. That quick little cameo, you know? Like, I don't think it, when I first watched it, it connected. And then, of course, once I knew who Sam Raimi was, and then, started connecting dots, I was like, oh, hey, that's a dude.
Right.
And that was just kind of neat.
Hey, there he is.
So yeah. I'm confident in what I'm saying. But I think that the Dark Man element, just to say, maybe I didn't quite understand. I didn't connect those dots yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, maybe it was just you watched it a little out of order. So when he showed up, you were like, why? Looks familiar, but it wasn't like clicking maybe yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that friend was also my gateway into Bruce Campbell, because he was already well aware and he seemed to be a fan. He was like, here, dude. Ta-da.
Shout out to those friends, man. Mm-hmm. Right. Deborah, shout out to you, wherever you are now.
That's right.
I've talked to her a handful of times since high school. I think you're well. I got off Facebook, so I have no idea anymore. So, shout out to them for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would even say, and I think this is what was fun for me also. I'm trying to remember what year I actually brought his IMDb up, because, like, dates are just going to be a problem for me. But do you remember the episode of X-Files? He was in. I loved X-Files also. I'll admit I had a crush on David Duchovny at one point in my life as well. I don't know why I have to say his name like that. I think my hub started that. Now it's just Duchovny.
Duchovny.
Anyway, we're weird people. So when he showed up in that, I was like, and I was like, ever since then, I'm like, I've got to find that one episode to download and keep so I can put it in my collection. So if anybody ever asks if I'm really a fan, I can be like, oh, you mean this? You know,
explain the episode. What was the episode?
I know it was more like he was actually part of, I think he was actually one of the aliens, but like you didn't know it throughout the whole thing. If I could remember the whole plot now, I should have looked it up to actually remind myself the whole plot. He wasn't in like the whole season or anything like that. It was just that one episode. Ah, crap.
Terms of Endearment.
That sounds about right, because I want to say family, his family was involved, his character's family. You know what? You can't even bring up specific episodes anymore. Gosh dang it. I know it was like towards the end of the 90s, I feel like.
Okay. I'm looking at this thing. Something about a demon.
Yes. Right? We suck. My brain sucks. I should know I need to look these things up before I have conversations about it, because I can't remember most things. But I know I sought that one out and recorded it for myself on a VHS tape. Because I used to do that really well, where I would take out the commercials and I would watch the whole thing so I could pause it real fast and then start it again when the commercial was over.
You had to be
making my own
a champ. Did you ever feel good about that too?
I did. Well, so much to the point that my family wanted me to do it for them for like anything that came on TV. And I was just like, oh man, I don't even want to watch half this stuff. But now I'm stuck doing it for them.
But you got, you were always proud of yourself if you could nail it, because you start to pay attention. It's like, all right, so sometimes you got to wait, because as soon as you pause, it's going to back it up. So you got to get into the commercial just a little, not too much. And then, so
it's sometimes you started to learn which blackout took just slightly longer. So you knew the show was about to come on, you know, like you started to like learn those little signals. Nowadays, I wouldn't know.
I know
these days
they would. Sometimes you'd get that tricky one because you think it's coming back, and then they go to station commercials like local sometimes. And you're like, son of a bitch. And you start recording something.
And then it's just a little flash of a commercial that stopped and went away and then to the show. Yeah. Well, you know what? You guys can deal with that little blip. I still saved you 2 minutes of your life. That's right. Wasted 3 hours, but saved you 10 minutes total. but anyway, I figured mostly this would deviate into like films that we've probably enjoyed, or, you know, TV that he's done. Because while I say I'm obsessed, I don't search up his everyday life or anything like that. You know, like I know his birthday, I know he's got kids and all this kind of stuff, generally where he lives, but that's it. And I did healthily stalk him when he would come into town. And I say healthily because I never bothered him.
Like,
but I would make sure I was in the vicinity so I could look on and be like, oh, he's in there, you know. Because I used to work at a restaurant very close to an airport, which was also basically across the street from a convention center. So I actually was pretty blessed to wait on a good amount of celebrities, actually. They would come in there quite often, like to sit on the patio or whatever. It was kind of an upscale restaurant. And of course, I had requested off to go to the convention because I knew he was there. And he was doing a movie presentation at the theater across the street from the restaurant. Because there was a movie theater, like, across the parking lot, I should say. It wasn't across the street. But, and so I was over there watching that because I knew he was going to introduce the movie and be there. So I was like, yeah. But then my boss called me and said, this dapper gentleman in a really crazy looking suit just came in here with a group of people. And I'm like, oh! And my boss knows who he is because we both used to talk about Burn Notice a lot, because Burn Notice was just amazing. It was just a freaking great show all around. So when my friend called me, I just came in. I'm like, can I just come sit at the bar? Because I just wanted to be there.
Sure.
And then he would leave. And the reason why I knew is when I was standing up at the host desk, one of his managers or something, I can't remember the guy's name now, had walked in at the same time to the host desk. And I was like, oh, he is here. I know this guy. He's at all of the cons. He's doing like the line, or like keeping us all corralled when we're in our line, because his was always like a stupid line to like go meet Bruce. And then as he was walking out, I just stared. And my friend's like, aren't you going to go? I'm like, no, I'm not going to bother him outside of work. He gets to go play right now. But I am going to stare until he's all the way out the door. Because, you know, if you've ever seen him at appearances, like his suits are something else. He finds some really crazy looking suits to wear, but they always look so dapper. Maybe I'm just biased.
Well, no. I mean, there's just something about him that you're drawn to. I can't see.
And he can pull it off.
And yeah, some of the suits I've seen. I mean, there's that one picture you showed me that you finally got a picture with him, and he looks sharp.
Yeah, he does. He always looks down. He always puts on the suit, the tie. He's always got some fancy shoes on. And this is just for panels. But his panels are fucking fun. They're so much fun. But I'm scared to like raise my hand or do anything, because I know his shtick is to make fun of people. But I don't think I could handle it if he did that to me. Even if it was just joking, I don't think I could handle it. So I was never one of those that would like raise my hand or do any of that. Although I did once, and I think I've told probably everyone I know this story because it still bothers me a little bit. Like, he even remembers this at all, but in my head he has to, and he's got it wrong now, and it wasn't anyone's fault. But in a panel, I was like second row from the front, and his book Make Love Bruce Campbell Way had only been out for maybe a year or so at that point. And so some kid raises his hand to ask a question. How do you make love the Bruce Campbell way? You know, like, I'm sure he's heard that a billion times. And he was talking about, well, if you had read the book, and for some reason I had the book on me and just shot it straight up, you know, and he goes, you, and I went, crap, you know? So I get up and I walk up there and he wants the book and I hand it to him. And some kid goes, her name's Veronica. I'm like, what? And then, you know, Bruce goes, well, thank you, Veronica. I love you. And I do you in the parking lot in a second. And I was just like, you know, and I just gave up. And my name's now Veronica for the rest of my life. And I was just like, who is this kid? And why did you say that was my name? I don't even know who you are. But then when I looked at the kid, he kind of like slunk down. I'm like, did you think I was someone else? Like, I don't know. Everything happened so fast. So I'm sure Bruce is like, dang, her name wasn't Vrot. You're not thinking about it again. I know it was like 7 years ago or something, but it still bothers me to this day.
Oh, yeah, because
but I didn't get to hear him say my name.
Right. You know? Exactly. Like, who the fuck was this kid? And keep your mouth shut.
Right. Like, who are you shouting out, you know? But thankfully, the Hubs actually got to record a little bit of it. This was before everyone had, like, fancy phones on them. But, like, you could still record off of them, but it wasn't great, you know? So, So my husband was like, oh, he'll do you in the parking lot. And I go, yep, and you're not getting in the way. And that was the rest of our day.
Or you just hand him a camera and be like, here, film it.
Here. This is what you do for me now. You know, we all have a list and he's on mine. Okay.
That is fair. But...
Mine's not laminated though. You got to keep it flexible.
Sure.
You never know. Sure. But yeah. So honestly, most of it, Evil Dead. I bring a lot back to Evil Dead because I don't know if you read the book too, If Chins Could Kill, where they explain a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. I figure if you haven't, you might enjoy it from a filmmaker's perspective.
It's always been one of those books that I've actually wanted to read because, again, I admire the man and I would love to hear what he has to say. And I guess it's just, it's been one of those books that's been out of reach because I never think about it. And then when I do, I'm just like, oh, where can I find? And I'm going to have to, I guess, do audiobook because I'm sure he reads it.
Oh, he narrates it.
Yeah. So
you may as well. I think when I bought Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way, I bought both so I could hear him read it to me also.
It's a great way. I mean, no shaming anybody who does audiobooks. I think it's great.
They're very popular now. I feel it's harder for me to stay invested when I'm listening, though.
If I can,
because my brain
focused.
Wanders too much.
Yeah.
Like, I need my eyes doing it so I'm, like, in the moment. I can respect people who do it that way. I've just tried audiobooks like that a couple of times, and I just... usually by the end of the chapter, I don't remember hearing anything. So if you have a scatterbrain, audiobooks may not be great for you. mine doesn't stay on any one topic for longer than 2 minutes. So it's hard to focus when I'm just listening. Like, I feel like I've got to be looking at something. I don't know. Like, just sitting there and listening. I don't know how to do that.
If I have to do something. Like, if I am working, doing something kind of mindless.
Oh, okay.
You know, then I can... it's like, I know what I'm doing here, so I'll be on autopilot so I can focus on this, but I'm busy, so I'm not feeling bored. Like, I know I can stay focused on the pod. But if there's going to be anything that's going to disrupt me, like if I have to read anything or focus on something else, I can't do it. Like, I have to turn on music or something to where that's what focuses or background noise, like, I guess.
Yeah. So it's not just silence while you're doing what you need to do. But I think mostly I respect the hell out of that flick, especially now when you see the influence it's had since its inception. You know, I'm sure, like, especially with reading the book, like, they had no clue it was going to do what it did. True. You know, it took them years to get done. And we're talking back in the day, you didn't have, everything was practical effects, you know, like, you didn't have this computer to run everything through. And so I just thought it was real creative to see how they worked around a lot of that and still make it gross and gory.
Sure, yeah.
Like, almost worse. Now, today, I don't know. Today, they've taken a huge step where I'm just like, am I a horror fan anymore? Because, like, some of this is, it's getting too much. And I almost have to say that for some of the newer iterations of it also. Because...
I don't know that I can handle a lot of the gore porn like that anymore. I just, it's gotten to a point where it's just too real and too much that I almost just can't. When they did the 2013, I think it was 2013, yeah, was the first time they did a remake, a reimagining, a reboot, whatever we were calling it. I was conflicted. Like, I only went to see it because Bruce said yes. I was like, okay, if you say so, you know, I'll go see it. Even though I know he wasn't going to be in it except for at the end, you know.
Yeah.
Groovy. I had to look away a lot. And I felt like, I think this might be where I have to start tapping out, even though I enjoy the franchise and I want to support them in that. But I think I went into it with the wrong mindset, too.
Sure.
I think I was thinking it was like a remake. And I think if I had gone into it knowing it was just like a reimagining, or this just happened to a different set of kids who happened to go to the same cabin, I feel like I would have enjoyed it more. I think I just had the wrong mindset going in, that it was, my expectations were something different.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I get that.
You know, so I didn't feel like I enjoyed it as much. But this last one, while I had to look away a ton, like, we've gotten to an area where I just can't watch a lot of it anymore. Like, I look at my husband, and then when he's like, okay, then I know I can look back. I feel like that one just hit the nail on the head so much more, capturing, like, the essence of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You and I never really got to discuss that one. You've seen all of them to date,
yes,
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. What did you think? Let's start with the 2013 one and kind of go through.
So,
you know, we love the first one from the 80s.
I don't know if you had the same experience, since we also had the same experience with the original.
Let's hope.
But the same friend all that time later was like, hey, I want you to go to see Evil Dead with me in theaters. And we were the only two in the theater, which was really awesome.
Weird, though.
Yeah. I think it'd been out a little bit at that time. Like, it wasn't opening weekend or anything, but
nearing
still.
Nearing the end of its cycle in the theater.
Yeah. Like, I hadn't had a chance to go, and he was like, hey, dude, we got to go see this. And I was like, all right, yeah.
On the big screen.
So, we got to go see it. There was a lot in there that you're just kind of, like, I feel like I built a tolerance for horror compared to where I was as a child. However, sure. I will say this, and I'm still trying to figure out what it is, like what the triggering mechanism is. But there are certain things, whether implied or seen, that will trigger a response. And they're very, very specific.
Okay.
Okay. Wrist cutting. Can't do it. Can't do it. Cause same with the tendons on the feet. Can't do it.
Especially if they get like the Achilles or something, that I'm just like, oh my God, I'm writhing in pain for them.
Things like that. For some reason, messing with a brain, like, I don't know what, I can't even explain what it is.
The Lambs. Was it the second one or what?
Hannibal. Hannibal.
Hannibal. Yeah.
That
oh my God.
That one threw me off my game so hard because I didn't understand what was happening. I was like, I have seen brains in movies before. I have seen gory things in movies before. And now I'm watching this guy feed this other guy his brain. Oh, my God, what? And it's like,
what?
Brain could not function. It was like, no,
we can't do this one. Yeah.
So there are very specific things. In this, I don't feel like they got to that point. But, there were just so many where you'd see something, you just kind of clench and be like, nah, I don't want to.
It was the tongue for me.
Yeah, that one was
when
rough.
He cut his tongue into like a snake or whatever. I was just like, nope, I can't keep on like this. You know, buckets of blood everywhere. Fine, you know, but that one.
I think it's the fineness of the cut. Because even like paper cuts, when you think about that, it's just like, you know. So it's that slicing, very
sliver.
Fine, just. The pain of it all, you know, because you know it stings.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, the little things like that. But, same with you. I mean, give me all the gore you want. You can spray it everywhere. Just buckets. Just gallons. I don't give a shit. It doesn't bother me.
Which they're good for. You want gallons of blood, you go for an Evil Dead flick, for sure.
So, I mean, that one, again, it didn't bother me, but yeah, I had my clenching, my where I just kind of pinch and just clench and just like, I'll get through it. I'll be fine.
I can do it.
And I know I had those moments with Evil Dead Rise, but I don't know too if they were an equal degree or not, because there were some, there were some moments in there where it was like, Jesus Christ.
I think the first scene actually got me hard. Like, I was like, oh God, we've started this way. I don't know what this says for me for the rest of the flick, you know? I guess spoilers.
Yeah, people, absolutely.
We're probably going to have some spoilers for a lot of these, and some of them I'm not going to feel bad about because they're 40 years old, basically, at this point. But like,
I already spoiled this last one.
That's true.
So, you know, spoilers away.
Spoilers away. But when she got scalped.
Yeah, that one.
That I just was like, oh my God, we've been watching this for 10 minutes. I'm scared, you know. So that one got me bad. But I feel like I did enjoy it because I feel like there was so much more homage being paid, and that felt like it was more in the proper universe. I'm not knocking the last person or whatever.
Sure.
Again, I still think my mindset should have been different, and I probably could have appreciated that one more. But when they were putting in this like Dead by Dawn, and you were looking in like the apartment with all of the deadites just like laying there and saying, that part got me. I was just like, oh, that was creepy, you know, and stuff that you can recall from the earlier movies. So I think that's why I enjoyed this one. And I should have tried for the $20, because I know they were like, if you could pick out where I threw Bruce in. And I mean, if you're a fan, you knew. As soon as it happened, I was like, you're not worth your salt at all if you didn't notice the instant it happened, you know? But like, just having his voice in the record player when they were, you know, doing that. That's why they call it the Book of the Dead, you know? But I was like, by the time I found it, I was watching it on video. I'm like, somebody's claimed the money. And like,
sure, yeah,
you better have, you know? But I can honestly say the last one, I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot more.
I think what made it enjoyable was because it was not only well written, but it was something different with the franchise. Like, again, not knocking the remake, but we've done that.
Yeah.
You know, the Cabin in the Woods, we've done that. So this was taking that concept and being like, well, what if we did it in a high-rise building? Okay, let's play with it. And that honestly got us thinking, wouldn't it be fun to do it here or, you know, play around with it, see what you could do. I'm not saying that they will all work, but the fact that I felt like that was a nice refreshing take on the material, let's see what you can do.
Did. And some of the shots I felt were very interesting also, where, you know, when the mom first was possessed and coming out of the elevator and everything, just the way they did kind of like a close-up of her face with like this glow. And then, like, the stuff that's going on behind her. I just thought that was a really clever edit. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever you would call it. Like, I'm not a cinematographer or anything like that. So I don't know, you know, what you would call all those scenes. But it was just, like, that visual felt very creepy and different to me. And the fact that nobody was safe. I don't even care if you were a child. Which you don't see people try to go for kids very often, you know. With reason, you know, like for some reason, like kids and animals, those are a step too far. We can't abide by that, you know. But like adults, slice them, dice them, whatever you want to do. But from you, though, from a filmmaker's perspective, was there any of those shots or visuals in there that you found really unique or interesting or different? I don't know.
I did kind of enjoy a lot of how they did it, because it did feel very claustrophobic, but they were really trying to encapsulate some of the just dark Sam Raimi stuff like he did. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who his cinematographer was. Yeah. But like you said, they were inspired to capture the essence of that and then to insert it within the high rise, because that's an entirely different spot other than a cabin in the woods.
Yeah, we're not in the woods anymore. Yeah.
So it's like, how do you take those shots? How do you take what was done in the Raimi films, but supplant it right here in this building and still try to capture that? And As far as any specific shots right offhand, I'd have to probably watch it again to really set into it. But I know that I was glued to it, you know. And if a movie can kind of keep me focused and not reaching for my phone, good.
Sure.
You've done your job. And I hate that I reach for my phone, but I feel like if I am, then the movie's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's making me go,
Clearly, I'm not interested enough in this moment that I've got to find something else to occupy my time. But so I don't know. Yeah, I sign off on the new one if you're a fan of horror. You know, if you're not, don't.
No,
it's definitely gory and everything. But I always found that, find that a little interesting too, from like the first Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, Ash versus Evil Dead. Like those all have their own feel, tone. So much different from the first one, you know? And I kept hearing so many rumors about why that was that I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. You would think I would remember him talking about it, but the way he does panels and stuff, I don't know if he's being serious either. So, like, you know? Because, like, why was the first one such a hard, like, horror? Straight up horror. And then we went to slapstick comedy horror. Not saying I don't appreciate both. I've just always been very curious why the second one felt kind of like a remake, but not really. You know, like they catch you up to a degree within the first 10, 15 minutes of like what happened in the first one. So you wouldn't necessarily have needed to seen it. But, you know, and I've even heard people ask that question in panels. And he's like, oh, I just thought we were making a sequel. I'm like, you're never going to tell us. Why are you? Some people said it's because they didn't have rights back to the first film, so they had to remake it. I don't know if that's true. You know, I've heard so many rumors about it that I would love to know.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I ever will.
I feel like I did hear the rights thing, but even that because we're talking about a very independent film. Now, I can't remember who bought the rights to that, but it just feels like there's something amiss with that story, especially if he's being coy about it.
Yeah, like I feel like there's got to be something maybe a little bit bigger in there. Or maybe he's just having fun screwing with all of us because I feel like that would be fun for him also. And fine, you know, fair. That's if you just think it's hilarious to watch all of us go, but damn it, Bruce, why? Then, you know, do your thing, man. Life is yours to enjoy. So.
It's true.
And we'll keep coming to the panels regardless. So I did get a chance to actually see the whole cast because I did go to one of the conventions where it was, I think, the 30th anniversary for Evil Dead. And they had like Ellen Sandweiss and Betsy Baker there, Teresa Tilly. I can't remember the guy's name that was his best friend now. Isn't that terrible? Because I actually met him. Like I went up and chatted with him and everything. And I won't talk about that too much.
Not a good guy.
It felt a little weird. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I feel bad. I shouldn't talk bad about people. I don't know. Well, it just felt like he thought. So it was basically me coming up saying that I was like a fan of the movie or whatever, and then he was like, "Oh yeah, well, what else have I done?" And I was like,
"Oh, okay."
I meant, and that's when I learned from there on out to say I was a fan of. Insert show that I watched here, because don't say you're a fan because now I'm scared to say that because I'm gonna get grilled. So I was just turned off by that because I was just like, well, I liked Evil Dead, so I'm sorry.
Well, don't feel bad. We on Horror Ramblings, we have gone at length and gone after Zach Galligan from Gremlins for being a complete and utter dick to everybody he meets, because I've met the son of a bitch 3 times and he's treated me with absolute disdain because I didn't apparently buy anything. You know, it's like the moment you realize you don't have money. Oh, I'm done with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he shuts the door and it's like, you know, I'm one of the reasons that you are who you are today because I was there. Supporting the films that you were in because I was a fan of your work because I loved the movie that you were in.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be a dick, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, that just, And then I was just so put off at that point, and we had just started the conversation, that I felt like, I'm like, well, I just need to get through this and get the picture taken and move on. I was just very put off by that. So I'm sorry, dude, that I didn't follow your career. I was a fan of that movie. I appreciated what you all accomplished and the hard work you put into it, because I had read the book. So I had seen all the blood, sweat, and tears and years and problems it caused for all of you to be able to make it, you know. So, yeah. So when I've met other people that I enjoy their body of work, I now call out specifically which show it was, because I'm scared someone's going to ask me again to like know their whole filmography or something, and I'm just not going to know it. So maybe don't ask people that. I don't know. Maybe some people love it and they can rattle it all off. But then when I was looking him up later, it was like he was using different names or something. So I was just like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, I'm not here to complain about that person. So I appreciate still what you did, Scotty. I can remember his like fake name, but I can't remember his real name, because it was two different names. Maybe it was like Hal or something was his name in Evil Dead, but I don't remember what his what. Anyway, we're moving on. So
yeah, we're talking about Bruce.
Talking about Bruce. You know, he might have done it to me too. I don't know. But when I did the whole VIP package, he didn't grill me on being his fan. He just said, hey, what's up? And we had a conversation, and he signed my book, and then I moved on, and I felt good, because it was like he was willing to have a small conversation. He knows he's got to keep the line moving, because it's out the freaking door. Like, if you see a line, everyone walking by was like, this is Bruce's line, isn't it? We're like, yeah, it is, because he's like the god at these conventions, you know. We all want to see him. Yeah,
but so. Why would you go out of your way to actively degrade someone for not knowing your work, or try to grill them to kind of prove a point when
nobody else was in your line, buddy? I'm just going to say that right now. I managed to walk straight on up there without any issue.
Furthermore, you know, sometimes people get nervous. When it comes to celebrities or someone they perceive as a celebrity, no matter how big or small, it's just like, oh my God, it's the guy. I'm nervous. What do I say? And then perhaps you just said the wrong thing and didn't think about it. Like in your head, you were just like, I'm going to come up and I'm going to say, oh, I'm such a fan of the Evil Dead. And it just comes out, I'm such a fan.
Yeah.
Regardless, why go out of your way to be like, oh yeah, what else?
Right.
What does it matter? It doesn't matter. I took time out of my day to come see you to say hello.
And money, by the way.
And money.
Because, like, you're not allowed to just walk up to them and get pictures and autographs. They're all charging for it.
So all why?
So why? I know his wasn't like $100 or anything, but I feel like it was like 20 or 25 or something. Because this was before cons got dumb expensive. Yeah. Like, they are now, like, I can't even afford to go to one now. Like, his VIP package at the time that I went was like $125.
Sure.
And that was still for all 4 days of the convention. I could go do all other things. Priority seating at his panel. I got a picture. I got an autograph. You know, like, you got all of that. And I felt like that was a fair deal. Sure. And then every year it went to like $200 and $250 and $300. And then I'm like, I got to tap out. I can't afford this anymore. And this is no knock to the people who go to cons, but I'm looking around going, where are you people finding $2,000 to spend on this weekend? But they must save all year long for this. If this is like their big thing to get to go buy like books and see their celebrities, who am I to tell you how to spend your vacation or anything? But I'm just like, they're not cheap.
No.
It's a very expensive weekend if you really want to dive into this stuff, you know, which is why I don't bother really getting pictures or autographs anymore, because some of them are like $100. And I'm like, just as much as I want to meet you and get an autograph, I need that $100 for a phone bill. I'm sorry, you know.
And, you know, I've even understood that why they have to do it, or, sure, or the whole politics behind it. But I'm going to go back to that fucking Zach Galligan dude. you come there with expectations, but again, some of us are on limited funds. If I could just blow money, I would go around the room and be like, pictures, autographs, come on, baby. And
if I had
everybody.
FU money, man, there's a lot of stuff I'd be doing.
But yeah, but anytime I've gone to a con, I have to focus. I'm like, all right, who am I really here to see?
It's like you map it out before you leave. Like, you know what you're wanting to do so you can make the most of the time with what you've got. Yeah.
And you want to make sure that you get to meet the people you came to meet. You don't mm-hmm. want to, I mean, if they don't show up, I mean, obviously that's not your sure. fault, but sometimes if that happens, yeah. they're there, that was your goal. It's like, I'm here for that one person. Because typically that's how I'll approach a con. It's like, if I see somebody that I must go and meet, mm-hmm. then I will be like, all right, now we're going. Otherwise, everybody else could be like, oh, they'd be kind of cool. Oh, they'd be kind of cool. But is it worth going? Like, do you really, really want to go? Yeah. Or so you have to make that decision. But again, it comes down to the money, because $50 or more for pictures or autographs or whatever, plus the tickets to get in and all this other shit. I mean, there's just so much. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I don't even feel like the last one we went to, we probably pulled out maybe $300-$400 for spending cash, and it just went phew.
Right.
Gone in an instant.
If you want lunch, forget about it. You know, I tried to remember to bring my own, because even like a tiny burger there would be like $6 or something. And we're talking like cafeteria burgers, you know, we're not even like McDonald's quality even, you know. And it's like, you want $10 for this and $6 for a fry and $7 for a 16-ounce can of Coke or something, you know. It's just like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't know how people do it, but...
I mean, if you save all year, sure. But I mean, that's a gamble too, because you don't know who's going to show up.
That's so true. Sometimes they cancel last minute or obligations change or whatever. Because I do know the first year I got the VIP package, I did get a little irritated, even though it wasn't anyone's fault. But there was supposed to be two actors from Firefly there that ended up having to cancel, I think, a week or so before the con was to go on. So all of the people who had VIP for those actors were offered to exchange it to a different one. And basically, they all went to Bruce. So it was like, even with the VIP pass, I was still waiting a very long time for stuff. So I was like, damn it. Like, I felt like there should be a limit on how much a VIP is, or it's no longer VIP. It's just like a high, more expensive general admission at this point. But... whatever. I guess I can't really blame them. Of course, I'd want to go meet him too.
It can get a little crazy if you just keep handing them out.
I feel like there should have been a limit, but I don't know. What do you do for those people? They were really badly wanting to go meet whomever it was, you know, that ended up having on. I don't know that they were sick. I think they just had other filming obligations that ended up happening, and so they couldn't on that weekend regardless. I still had to wait a long time. But you meet some friends in line because you're there for so long that there was me and this family that seemed to always manage to get in line at the same time for Bruce stuff, and we just chatted it up, and we're taking pictures with each other by the end of the weekend. Like, we were all best buds, never seen him again, you know. But Bruce fans are great, too. That's another thing. His fans are always usually a lot of fun. You say his name, you could sit there and talk for hours and hours and hours just about the loveliness and wonderfulness that you love about him. And you could just make friends like that in those lines easy. It's just such a charismatic person that how do you not like? I don't know that I've met anyone. You either don't know him or you love him. I don't know that I've met anyone go, meh.
Yeah.
Or maybe I've cut them out of my life and I've blacked them out. You know? It's like, oh, we can't be friends. Damn you. Yeah, we can't know each other. But yeah, so moving on through, though, I know this is very all over the place, but you guys should have known that. I'm never going to be able to stick to one little thing. Of course, we've got to talk about some of his other flicks. I mean, how do you not love Bruce Campbell being Elvis?
Yeah. I mean, Bubba Hotep is one of those cult classics, I think, that I want to say it's slept on with the general public. I think that there's enough of a cult following that people know about it. But beyond that, it's really a cult movie.
It really is. Yeah.
You know, but it's so good.
It really is. If you haven't seen it, it really is just a lovely little flick. I guess like a quick TLDR. It's you know, it takes place in like a an old folks home, if you will, or nursing home or whatever you want to call it. And so Bruce's character thinks they're Elvis. And then I think it was funny, like his well, I guess neighbor, he didn't really have like a roommate, who thought he was like one of the presidents, you know,
Ozzie Davis.
Yes. So that's already funny, too, you know. So like they're all just like running around in wheelchairs. But you see they are possessed or haunted, you know, which there's, then they're like going to chase this thing as these like old crazy people who think they're someone else. And it's just so lovely and ridiculous that you can't not enjoy it. So I definitely recommend that one. I don't care whose fan you are. It's just a fun little flick. I bet he gets asked about that a lot.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I wonder if they ever thought about making another one. I don't think they should.
I think it's perfect
where it is.
There was talk. Can't remember right offhand. I'm honestly feel like there was a title. Like they had a title at one point.
Oh, really?
But I cannot for the life of me remember what it was. Something like Bubba fill in the blank.
Nosferatu. This says Bubba Nosferatu. Really?
That's right. That's right.
This is from 2022, so it was fairly recent.
And that might actually have been developed into a comic book, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh, see, now that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Bubba Nosferatu, Curse of the She Vampires. In the wake of the... Oh, okay. Oh, this is fun. I'm going to have to read this later. Oh, this is fun. yeah, it does look like they made it into a comic. Oh, I don't know how I missed this. Well, I mean, like I said,
yeah,
I'm a fan and I stalk him, but I don't literally look up like every little movie makes. That's why I say healthy stalking. Like I know a lot, but you know, you don't have to call the cops on me if I'm around.
All right, right. And what would have been interesting to see is Paul Giamatti was apparently going to be cast in the film as Colonel Tom Parker.
Oh,
so
my God!
Him and Bruce together.
Oh, my God. Now I want this to happen.
I know.
Just with those people. I love Paul Giamatti. He would be so perfect in a flick like that. Dude, he's so great.
Yeah.
Ah! Who do we talk to? Bruce, are you listening? No, he's not listening.
Have you seen The Holdovers yet?
Yes, I actually did go on your recommendation.
Yeah,
yes, I did.
I'm sorry. Okay.
It was a good flick, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I would just keep bouncing all around, too. I think most people have probably seen Burn Notice. I would say that was probably his most successful, like, TV series. Mm-hmm. Because as good as all of the series were, they always seem to get canned after a season, which is extremely unfortunate. Because, like, Jack of All Trades was great. It deserved more than it did. The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. deserved way more than it did. You know?
That is one I want to talk about on this show. If we can ever... Well, I've got a DVD set, but I don't know if it's readily available on any streaming platforms. That's why I'm just not 100% sure. But you might have the DVD set.
I might still have the DVDs of both, because I feel like I was, because I even have like the silver copy of Evil Dead from VHS.
Yeah.
If I had anything to play it in anymore, but I've kept it, you know, because I went and bought like the special editions of all three of those movies because I watched them so freaking much. It was ridiculous because Army of Darkness, I feel more people know if they've never even heard of the first two, because I feel like that got a long run on TNT a lot through the 90s.
Oh, and like, even AMC, I think, even would do some special showings where they'd add in like director's cut footage or TV footage or whatever.
So I feel like a lot more people that I know are familiar with that one, even if they're not familiar with the other ones. Did you ever see the alternate ending?
Yes, where he drank the stuff, went off running.
Yeah, like that one would have been an interesting one to leave it at. But I guess then how would you do? Well, you could do whatever you wanted. But I was like, then Ash versus Evil Dead, I guess he would just be kind of still stuck in the future.
Yeah,
or would he drink something else again? I mean, it's movie magic. You can do whatever you want, I guess, to bring him back.
What kills me about that is I've got, I guess, one of the last special editions that Shout came out with that has all the different versions.
Oh,
and fun. What drives me up the wall is I want a combination cut. I want the director's cut full of all the footage because I don't understand why they cut this shit out to begin with because I feel like it just pads and adds to so much.
Yeah, they weren't like 3-hour movies, so...
No.
Yeah.
But then take that stuff, add it into the movie, but then put the original ending at the end of the director's cut so it just feels like a more cohesive flick because that ending doesn't work now because you have the continuation. So it's just like, I wish I could have the best of both worlds.
Right. But there should have been a way to incorporate them both. Or he woke up from drinking too much or something. And now he's back at S-Mart or whatever you need to do for that. But I mean, I feel like at least it kept that tone. Like once we got to Evil Dead 2 on, it just kind of kept that slapsticky. Because even by the time we got to Ash versus Evil Dead, I mean, that was even bigger. Right. Like it's an even bigger version of what it was. How did you not still love it, though? And I'm very sad. I know it still had a good run. Like, what, four seasons?
Three. Yeah, three. I think it was.
Not a bad run. But I feel like it should have gone longer. And and correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like I read somewhere Bruce saying it would have gone on longer because their pirated numbers were amazing. But nobody was willing to, like, pay $5 a month for Stars to watch it or something.
Yeah.
Which aggravates me if that's really the case, because it's like, if you were his fans, why weren't you supporting My Ass Bought Stars? Same. And that was all I watched on it. I'm not lying to you. I never really strayed anywhere else. I just wanted to make sure I got to see Ash versus Evil Dead when it was coming out. So yeah, screw all you people who were pirating it. I feel like you're the reason why I didn't get more of it. I mean, it ended well, and I still love all of the callbacks and, you know, all the Lucy Lawless coming in. I mean, hello, how amazing was that? And I still think like Pedro was great, and like all these different characters were so amazing. And then of course they got to make a video game, you know, out of it. We played it a couple times. We never came back to it. Multiplayer is hard for us.
Yeah.
But that was also fun, you know. He's done several video games, though. They've had several Evil Dead games from like PS2 on. I feel like there's been a few because I've had them all also because he voiced in them. And if, you know, he was in it, I was gonna buy it.
I did want to bring up one of his video games where I felt like I had the most joy out of him.
I think I know which one you're gonna say, but let's see.
Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
Because his narration in that game elevates everything. Like, it was already going to be an amazing game that I was already excited for because Spider-Man 1,
right,
obviously. And then 2, this was going to be the first Spider-Man game where we had an entire city to explore. Yeah. Never had I ever seen that with a Spider-Man game because you were always limited to where you were doing. They're like, no, it's going to be an open world. You get to swing everywhere. I was like, oh my God. I had to have this game.
I was addicted to that one too. Yeah.
So like I was in it. I bought that game like the day it came out and then I pop it in and who starts narrating is Bruce. And I was like, oh shit. And
it's just got better. Yeah.
Throughout the entire game, his commentary, his quips, just so perfect. It just elevated everything about it. And I was like, I love this.
Yeah. It really does add that little something extra. I don't know if you realize, like, your charisma and personality really does just, you know, do something different with it. And I think that's why I also appreciate, like, Raimi a lot, too. Because even in flicks that, because, I mean, he's definitely skipped to, like, A-list, A-tier, you know, like, but he always manages to find a way to give him a cameo. And I love that, you know, and like, I don't know if everybody truly gets it unless you're like a huge fan of both of them or something. Cause I often wonder when he just shows up, if people are like, why does that guy just keep showing up in this random weird character for like a line or two or something, you know, but I love it. Mm-hmm. I love that there's still such good friends like that, that that happens. And, you know, and that he can brag that he was one of the only people to stop Spider-Man.
Right.
I was the only one. I was just so great, you know. And I'm like,
I genuinely hoped, and I know that it probably wouldn't have made any sense to anybody, but when I heard that Raimi was doing the Doctor Strange movie, the Multiverse of Madness, I thought, you know, he has an opportunity to do something that he was planning on doing before. And again, I don't know how logistically it would have worked or whatever, but it still kind of would have been fun. Is, to my understanding, rumored, have you, and I think I've even seen storyboards that kind of confirmed as much, but had they done a fourth Spider-Man film with Tobey Maguire and Sam Raimi would have come back, they would have revealed that the guy Bruce had been was the same guy in every movie and was the villain Mysterio,
that putting on so different. Good.
It would have been perfect.
Oh, why can't we go back and do that? That would have been so good.
So I thought, you know, if they'd done, just popped in that multiverse, happened to just drop by, they could have done that. And I know it probably would have been a throwaway that wouldn't have worked. And it was still kind of funny with the hot dog stand or what. No, sure. It was a, what was it?
What was something he selling? It was food on the street. He was a food, pizza?
Pizza on a stick or something, wasn't it?
Why did my brain sucks?
I feel like that was something like that.
Because he even had like a little cameo right at the end credits or something.
Pizza balls. That's what it was. Because I was sitting there thinking it was to eat something in a way that it's not normally eaten. And it was, pizza ball.
Pizza balls. Yep.
But yeah, it was a random thing that... It was nothing more than a joke, but I would have been disappointed had he not been there, because now it's kind of expected. I have to see him.
When I see like a Raimi flick, I'm like, where'd you do it? Where'd you do it? And I'm not saying he's been in 100%, you know, of all of his flicks or whatever, but like when he does, it's always just a lot of fun. And I just think that's great to hear about these guys, you know, Michigan made a dream happen, you know, and fought so hard to do it on their own. Like today... Kids ain't gonna know. And even I don't really, you know, like I can understand and read what it was like to try to film on Super 8 and do all of these effects on your own and everything. You couldn't just film it and watch it back in real time, you know?
No.
Were just hopeful what you're catching is good and trust your actual skills and all that kind of stuff. And to read, you know, about the stuff that they built to be able to get certain shots, you know, with making it look like the evil was just... moving through the woods and everything. I want to say he's probably the reason why we got that shot. Like, I feel like a lot of filmmakers have used that or have been inspired by that. I've seen it several times since. I want to say he's one of the first ones to do it, but I can't be certain because, again, I'm not a cinephile, so I don't, like, you know, go that far back. But I feel like that inspired it, at least, that we see a lot of, like, horror flicks kind of use that to a degree.
Yeah, I'm almost positive he was probably one of the first to really come up with that stuff. Whatever he did, like you said,
point of view.
Yeah, even if it wasn't the first, how he did it, how it was portrayed, he did it first. So it really kind of had its own unique style and sensibilities about it that, yeah, everybody was looking at it going, holy shit, this is amazing. And I want to do that too.
Yep. And you could make it your own. I mean, I think all art at this point is inspired from something else if you can try to figure out how to make it your own, because it really does feel like we are not anything new is going to happen anymore. Maybe there is just a finite amount of ideas. I don't know. But it feels like it, because like today with technology and everything, it just, nothing feels like it's that hard. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it cost a lot of money to do the effects, but I don't know. I guess I appreciate how in the trenches they used to have to get for filmmaking that now, I don't know, I'm not behind there. You could probably tell me it's all still, but I just see a bunch of people on strings in front of a green screen anymore. And it's just like every Marvel movie is just like in a garage, you know?
It's really getting to that point where a lot of what you watch just doesn't feel right anymore. And I used to think that one day, you know, because you'd see the blue screen shots in these old movies, and it was always just kind of like, it could be better. But again, you respect it because it was like, it's part of the time. They couldn't do it any better. But now we can do it so much better, but it just looks equally as fake, you know? It just...
Yeah, like we're kind of in some places like an uncanny valley to a lot of it too. And I think it's just the overuse of it. I know, side tangent, Aquaman, I feel like is a good thing for that. Cause like, yeah, I watched the second one. It came out for free on HBO. Sue me. Yeah. I know there's, we're not supposed to watch it, whatever. But
I watched it too, goddammit. Same damn day that it came out.
Yeah, but like the whole time I'm watching it, like obviously it's all special effects because they're underwater a lot, right? Like we're not actually humans talking underwater and all this kind of stuff. But the effect to have them look like they were in water the whole time, I'm like, just their face doesn't look right. Something just looks off. They all look soft or something, you know, like maybe that's the look you were going for. They've been soaking in water this whole time. I don't know. But it just, yeah, just staring at their face, like looking at Nicole Kidman, I'm like, I know it's her, but she looks so weird. Now, I know some of it's probably like makeup and all this kind of stuff, but I don't know. Maybe it was just like you could kind of see just a little bit where the hair CGI starts. So it would constantly look like it was flowing in water. Or like, why was his hair always flowing, but not necessarily always his shirt? Or, you know, like I'm just, now I'm picking it apart. But that's a good example of like, I feel like we've used so much special effects that nothing looks real now again.
No, I 100% agree. There's just something about it. But when you can find the random ones that actually pull it off and you can, it just looks amazing. Like, I've probably talked this to death, but shit they did in Godzilla Minus One on a very, very limited budget by comparison to Hollywood. It's just, I don't know what to say. You're just like, look at what they're doing with less, so much less than what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you do this? Why are you killing people for these great effects and yet you can't even match?
Maybe it's just like taking the creativity out. I think a lot of this is like once you start having it all just about money and shareholders and all this kind of stuff, the creativity starts to get sat, you know, sucked out of it.
Well, I have heard this, and to me, this is just the worst way, because I was even, what was I watching the other day? I can't remember. It had something to do with a movie, making of a movie or something like that. Something that didn't make any sense to me. How are you going to make a movie? Okay, like your plan is, and I'm sure just everything you said will, it'll all sound like, yeah, this is why.
Similar.
But you decide you're going to make a movie. Mm-hmm. You're trying to find the right script for it, or you maybe want to tweak some stuff, but then you destroy said script. It's not what people signed on for. It's not the movie that you were going to make originally. So how did you get to this point? All because you were trying to rush something before it was ready. Why not settle on what you want to film before you set anything else in motion? And because the movie's a mess, it's because people were changing shit all the time. The script was changing. People were like, well, this doesn't fit this anymore. It's like, it doesn't matter. Just, we're going to have to make it work.
Nothing makes sense. You've cut around so much stuff. Yeah.
So it just becomes this garbled mess because so many things have changed. Some things don't fit anymore because you changed them. So why would you do that? Why would you go through the process of starting this entire process, changing shit in the middle because it wasn't ready to begin with, and then other people were like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Too bad. You know? This is what you signed up for.
I'm telling you, I don't get a lot of the stuff that we're doing with most of it anymore. Yeah. Well, you know, I hate money. I feel like that just ruins everything once you start getting that involved. Nothing pure or good or anything can come out of you if you're doing stuff for money.
Well, I even heard, and I have no doubt this is true, but again, makes no sense. For me as a creative, makes zero sense to me. What? There's rumors that, you know, we heard that Disney and Marvel were getting in hot water for crunching down on their special effects people or whatever.
I'm not surprised, yeah.
What I have heard that they do in their creative, I'm going to quote that, process, is they'll have an idea for what they want to do as an effect. They'll send it over to the effects house. Then they'll come back with something that's what they want, but then now the script has changed. And now it's like, we need this instead, so don't worry about that. And then they'll go through this process of always changing this effect that has never been settled on, or maybe they didn't settle on what it needed to look like specifically, so they came back with, well, here's the thing, and they're like, nah, we don't like it. And then they have to go again and again and again until they eventually come right back to the original one. So it's just like, damn, you're killing these people because you can't settle on anything. Give them a clear direction where to go.
Or just stay out of it. Like, you hired the people to do it. Let them do it.
Yeah. If you have a specific thing you want done, make it clear.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you're going to change shit, just don't.
Just don't.
I think that's where I'm at with it. Just don't.
Leave it alone, man. Yeah.
Now, I understand I understand some things will change on the fly. We've had this conversation with some of the stuff we've done where we have something that's in the episode and it's just not hitting, something's not working, so you got to change it. I get that can happen.
Oh, sure. And that's like usually dialogue or something like that, maybe.
But an entire movie?
No, yeah.
You know, one scene not working, I get it. You cut it or you rework it, whatever, if you need it. But an entire movie?
Yeah. That sounds like you're just chasing your tail the whole time.
Yeah. Like well, we got to get this going. We got to get it going.
But get what going?
Yeah.
You've not told us. Yeah, exactly. Like, you have half an idea. All of that should be settled before you even start hiring or casting or, you know, I feel like there should be those creatives that are sitting in there making the whole thing up or whatever you got to do, fleshing it out. And of course, once you get actors and stuff involved, things might morph or change or whatever with dialogue and things like that hits different or whatever. But yeah, like it's not like you just keep changing the main villain or something over and over and over and over again or keeping the same one. Aquaman, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
Why did we have the same villain? I actually looked at the hubs and I was like, does Aquaman not have like a lot of villains? And he's like, no, he's got some. More than one. And I went, oh, okay, that's just all I wanted to know. I never read the books, but I'm like, if it's this guy again, is this his only enemy in the world?
See, was it actually him? Because that's what they tried to do, is like, ah, but he's now possessed by this bigger creature. Now that's why he's so evil.
Mm-hmm. Eviler, I guess.
Yes, evil.
I don't know. I'll when it was done, I just went, we just watched a movie. And he goes, yep. And then we moved on to try to find something else. You know, it's like, well, that was 2 hours. That was 2 hours. You're right. It wasn't three. You're right. It wasn't three. That's when I'm trying to find the nice things about it. You know, like, well, you do made a movie. Look at you. You started a movie too. You know, you did it. I guess it didn't do well, though. I don't know. I didn't actually look at numbers. I wasn't that invested in people boycotting the movie. But
the only reason people were boycotting it is because they all knew the reset was coming. They all knew that.
No, I was talking about Amber Heard. We weren't supposed to go watch the movie because of her.
There's a lot. There were a lot of factors involved.
There were a lot of things going on.
You had the Amber Heard thing that they. I give them credit. I mean, they literally had her in the movie, but she did nothing. She was just kind of there.
I know. We're on a side tangent. Do you think she was actually even cut at all? I feel like that was all her part was going to be. And then they made it sound like she was cut because she wasn't really in that much of it to begin with to try to make us go, okay, fine. She's not in it as much. I mean,
I personally feel like if that was their plan to begin with, then I feel like that's a big middle finger to the character that she was playing because Aquaman is so tore up about the baby getting kidnapped, but she's just like, where's my baby? For one scene, and that's all she gets.
Oh, but that's like, she doesn't act. That's why I thought it was funny she was cast in something like that in the first place. And I know we're on such a tangent, because I actually believe it was him that got her the part. I know, I'm probably going to get added, because it's a very divisive topic. But yes, like I was never that thrilled with her. I was just like, okay, she's a hot blonde. That's why she gets work. As far as I could tell.
Yeah.
Not knocking anybody. Go get your bag. I always wanted to be an actor and I wasn't good enough. So there you go. I can put my own self out there, you know. You made it to a degree. So there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was hard to watch. But there were some scenes that I saw where I was like, well, if you were going to cut her, that would be one to cut. Where they just cut back to her for a second just to stare at her. And then go back to what was going on just so you know she's there. Like, that could have been cut. You know?
Is she contractually obligated to be in the movie? And they may have had, like, some minutes. Like, Christ.
I don't know. That's why I just feel like she wasn't actually cut. I just think that was all her part was going to be anyway. And
if it was, that's kind of terrible. Because, I mean,
I don't know. I wasn't as invested in Mira. Like, I don't really follow the lore. And I just know when I was half watching the first movie, before I even knew there was supposed to be controversy about her, I just remember looking at the hubs and I'm like, who is she? Like, it just felt very forced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of the wonderment from being on land and all this kind of stuff. It just felt very big and not believable. And I was just like, who is this chick for such a billion-dollar movie? Like, I couldn't. And then later on, I was like, oh. Yeah. I watched it before I knew there was going to be an, you know what I mean? It came out before there was an issue. Mm-hmm. Or before we knew there was an issue. Anyway, back to Bruce.
Back to Bruce.
Much happier topic. I mean, the only other couple of things that I wanted to talk about, obviously a little bit more of Burn Notice. I'm hoping you did watch that because it was just an amazing show. No, don't.
No, that's one that actually got by me, unfortunately, but I have heard a lot of great things, and I've wanted to start it and see what all the fuss is about, because I mean, I like him and the concept seems good enough. So, I mean, yeah.
Well, I think you know where I got my fake last name.
Yeah, absolutely. I do know that.
Chuck Finley. Yeah. So that's why I went with Finley. Yeah, you're welcome. I know. That's not my real last name. Oh,
what?
She did that for being on the internet? But yeah, so Chuck Finley, of course, you got to take that. No, it's really, really was a great show, honestly. Even if I had no clue who Bruce was, it would have been a great show. Yes, he's why I started it, you know, but like it was just genuinely a really good show. And I think if you gave it a shot, you would get really into it. Shit, me talking about it now, I kind of want to go back and do another rewatch. It was just so much fun. And of course, his character just adds to it because they're all like ex-CIA, you know, because they got burned. I didn't know that's what that meant when you're like the Burn Notice, you know. So, and you got Michael Weston and you got, you know, Sam Axe, which is who he was and all that. And they just go on their tomfoolery fun being, you know, CIA people. And it's such a good time. Just so I can't get over it. Ah, well, and if you haven't seen it, then I'll just recommend you see it. And I think it actually got to like 7 seasons. So that's why I was like, for a TV show that he was in, I'm not trying to knock him or anything, but like he did great shows. It just seemed like they were never given a chance to get past a season.
Sure,
I don't know. I feel like sometimes things get canceled before we see if it's going to hit, or one of those things where it just hit after the fact because you get this cult following and we go back to see certain things and then we're like, man, this was good. And then he's probably like, yeah, where were you when it was on? You know, I'm like, well, we just found it. Sorry. You know, maybe you guys need to market it a little better.
I mean, it was one of those shows. Would that come on USA?
I think it's USA. Yeah.
USA. Okay.
So you had to have like basic cable. Sure. At the time. Because this was still like 2010, 11. I know it's been over a decade now, even though it doesn't feel like it, because it's one of the newer ones that I guess not newer anymore. What is time even anymore?
What is time? 2007 to 2013.
Oh, so shoot.
That would have been in a very gray area of my life.
Okay. You're like, lots of fun things probably missed me then.
So, yeah, during that time, if anything came out around then, I was like,
probably dealing with lots of other well then okay,
but I've always heard about it and I knew he was in it and it was just like, ah, I ought to check that out, and I just I don't do, but being that it's on USA, I would guess that it would be on Peacock, so I could look.
Oh, you know what, I hadn't checked,
so
maybe.
I'm gonna bet on that. I'll put a confident bet I could find it on Peacock.
Okay. Well, I hope you do, and we can start talking about it. I need to do another rewatch because, like, it really was a lot of fun, and they cast it so well. Because what's also fun though is they both, the guy who played Michael Weston and Sam, they were both in a season of Fargo.
That's right.
The one that he played Reagan in, when because I of course went to go watch that season because I knew Bruce was in it. So when I saw this is so bad. I'm sorry. I can't remember your real name, Michael Weston. I know you have a real name and that's your character in Burn Notice, and I'm sorry. But when I saw him pop up, I'm like, oh, hey, they're both in a show again together. And I have to give props to that actor, too, because it was such a far cry from the part that I'd seen him play in Burn Notice. Where I was like, ooh, look at this guy. He's probably done so much, but those are the only two things that I had seen him in. I was like, hey, he's actually really, really good. Not to say actually. I know that sounds bad. Like, hey, look at you.
Hey.
You can act, you know. But yeah, so I went to watch that. And then when I saw that Bruce wasn't in the entire season, I was like, what's happening? You're going to put him in like later and stuff? Like you have Bruce and you're going to... Okay.
All right. So I was wrong. I was wrong, and I hate it. Like it. I don't understand the streaming things. The things that they should have, they don't have, and then other things do have it. So Peacock didn't have it, but it is on Hulu, it's on Amazon Prime, and it's on Freevee. So there's three options to get it without having to pay for it.
okay. Well, interesting.
So I've still got options.
But Freevee, I think you'd have a lot of commercials. So maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you happen to be subscribed to Peacock or not Peacock, Jesus Hulu. Christ, I keep going to Hulu. 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 Prome.
Yes.
Frovee.
Well, you have Hulu, don't you?
Yeah, I have Hulu. Yeah. So I can watch it. I gotta get in that zone. I gotta get in that zone.
Yeah, no, fair. But it is a good show. I recommend it. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of action-based, so it keeps moving really fast and everything. So, yeah, I definitely recommend it. And then, of course, if you're moving on, he's done just so many little cameo stuff, too. So that's where I was like, I probably haven't seen everything because he'd be like in an episode of this or a random episode of that. You know, I even want to say he voiced an episode of Archer.
Yes, he did. He was a character named McGinley.
Okay. Yeah, when you hear his voice, you're like, duh.
Yeah, it's unmistakable.
And it makes me smile. Just makes me smile every time I hear it, you know? Yeah, I guess like at this point, it would just be me kind of like swooning and going over it, unless there was like anything else, you know, that I hadn't mentioned. We had already talked about his, you know, stealing the show and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, you know, and the game.
Sure. I know for a fact, like I said, I think we'll definitely come back to him at a greater capacity with something like Bird Notice or Briscoe County, because I know for a fact I've wanted to talk about Briscoe County because I've
Such
wanted
a
to rewatch
good show.
It.
Man.
It really is for reasons we'll talk about when we get there, but it was just ahead of its time. And I think that's the problem with a lot of good shows that get canceled so early, is they were ahead of their time for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just got put on a dumb night of the week that didn't give it as much exposure or something, you know?
I genuinely feel that Fox stuck them on a Friday at one point.
That's kind of the death sentence of a show, right?
Ironically, because we'll talk about how it can also be a...
a blessing to certain things,
but we'll get to that later on.
We'll get to that, yeah.
But,
excellent.
I can't really think of any other... shows or I remember, okay, here's one. I just kind of thumbing through. I remember I wanted to see this movie because he was in it, and because I was such a fan of the originals. Was it good? It was all right. But it was still connecting to things that I loved. It was like, oh my God, I gotta check this out. And it was the Love Bug, the Disney remake of Herbie.
I almost forgot about that. Yeah.
It goes, I don't even know if it's on Disney Plus. It might be, because I know some of the others are, but it was a made-for-TV movie, kind of reinvented. Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say they reinvented. Kind of combining elements from some of the other movies. Because I know that he was supposed to be a race car, but I don't think he was a race car in the original film. And then eventually they got him into the racing thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like they took elements of that where he was a racer, I think, and then he found Herbie and... they bonded, whatever. Yeah, mm-hmm. Typical Herbie fashion. If you don't even know what I'm talking about,
go watch it. Yeah, go back.
Yeah, that's probably a topic for another day that I'd love to talk about. One specific Herbie movie. I think there are four. I've got them all on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I was like, I can think of two, but there, probably more. Like the original, and then.
Yeah, there's one specifically that I would love to talk about for several reasons. So we might put that on our list and might get you to check that one.
Okay.
But yeah, just looking through some of his other stuff. I mean, I know that I've seen, I think, yeah, the last thing I remember seeing him on TV was that Lodge 49 show.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was like a guy in that and died, didn't he?
Can't do that to me, man.
Yeah. That was like,
oh shit. Because I'm like, no,
I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see that. I can't handle it. That one's going to kill me. He's just got to live forever.
Did you ever finish that show? No. I know it only ran for two seasons, but I checked out after two. I don't even think I got through two or even started it, because I heard that they were going to cancel it. And I was like, well, then why am I going to bother?
Why start it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably went back and just watched the few episodes he was in so I could say that I saw the episodes he was in. And then that was it. Because I don't really remember continuing on or even what it was much about anymore. So
I feel like it was Wyatt Russell, and he was like the surfer dude, and he... like his dad died, and then there was some kind of lodge in the town. It was like some sort of
I had to bring it back up to see. Okay, yeah, I'm remembering this a little bit more.
And he tried to get into the group or what? It was all right.
It was a decent idea, I think. It's coming back to me, but I don't think I finished it either. You're right, now that I'm looking at it, and it does look like it did a season. Wow, not even two. Anyway.
Yeah.
But again, maybe he's a curse to TV. I don't know.
I really hate to think that, yeah.
Because, I mean, again, Burn Notice did really well, you know. But sure. And I still think Ash versus Evil Dad was a success. I mean, it's just a hammy good time, and I just love that Ash has just become so much bigger every iteration that he goes through. It's just way more kooky and way more big and way more over the top, and I love it, you know. Do you think they would ever try to, like, remake it genuinely and cast a new Ash? I know Bruce would probably like, please, for the love of God, I can't handle it anymore. I know he's retired from Ash because he's like, I'm too old to get beat up, prodded around, and blood thrown all over me.
But maybe. Because
they could.
That I don't know. That's going
to
be a tall
order. That's big shoes to fill.
Because I think that's why they've avoided doing anything like that with the new movies, because
none
it's just
of them
like
have tried to do Ash. That's true.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, just that's new his character altogether. Same, same books, premises, whatever. But don't do that. If they did, I feel like it would have to be someone with Bruce's blessing, someone who knows the physicality. I think it could be done, especially if you find someone who can.
I wonder if his kids ever thought about acting. I know he's got more than one, but like. He has one kid that does like Twitch streaming and stuff like that I've seen. Andy, I think is his first name, Andy Campbell. I've often wondered, I'm like, how many times have you brought Bruce on? Bruce, have you gone on his Twitch stream? I mean, if you were my dad, I'd have you on my Twitch stream all the time.
Hello.
Like, I don't know. It's probably like regular dad to him. So he's like, Dad, go away. You know, but I'm just like, Bruce Campbell's your dad. I'd have him on all the time.
He could have done that. Like if he had, I don't know what his, I'm sure everybody knows that now, but if no one knew who he was before, and be like, Dad, here's what I want you to do. So I get a few, I'm going to give you a text, and I just want you to walk in the room and maybe give me some hell or something like that. Act like a normal guy. Get in
dad
camera.
Dad doing dad things.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing, son? Well, can I play? Dad,
are you winning, son?
Yeah.
Are you winning?
And then just do a whole skit. Dad, get the hell out of my room. I'm trying to stream. God. All right, Jesus.
And it would just be him trying to do one of those like short filter videos that he puts out all the time on Twitter, you know, where he puts like, Bruce is always putting out like a filtered video of him pretending to be like a zombie or a whatever and doing that. So I just wanted to film it with my kid. Am I not allowed? Jeez. No, that would be hilarious. He had to have, especially with the game, the video game. Like,
oh, yeah.
Dad, I hope you played with him. I hope you played that kid. Or played that game with your kid. I will get the sentence out in a moment the way I want it to sound. Maybe I should actually go check it out. I know. I haven't been so stalky that I was like, I'm going to stalk your child. Okay. At least there's that. Like boundaries. But I just knew he was streaming, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then the last one I remembered seeing him in, though, was My Southern Family Christmas, which I was like, it was like a Hallmarky movie, I think. Yeah. So I was just like, I've got to go see this because I never would have put like those two things together. Not saying you couldn't. I just don't know that I've been like, oh, Bruce Hallmark movie. Okay. It was weird to see him in that kind of role.
Like you were struggling to say it.
I was. It was like, I remember watching it, you know, and I was going through it. And I was like, it's just such a difference from what I've seen him do other things. I think my brain just wasn't making it work as well, where I'm like, well, when's he gonna go over the top or something, you know, like just straight acting? I don't know, man. I don't know if I can handle that out of Bruce, but it was fine. I think I'm not a big Hallmarky type movie kind of fan. It's always gonna end well, you know. We've always got to have the conflict, always got to have the separation or something, and then the moment of realization, and then, you know, you come back together. So it's like the stakes aren't really ever that high,
right?
But good for you. You did a Hallmark.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever. If I was an actor, I'd be like, paying me to act, I'll act. Let's do it. Perfect. I guess we can wrap it up there. I would say if you don't know who Bruce is, go fix that. And
yeah.
You're welcome, because he's awesome and he's lots of fun. I do also recommend following his Twitter, because it really is a good time. He just puts out silliness and tomfoolery videos all the time. That's just fun to watch. It looks like he engages with people too. I've never tried because, I'm scared to get made fun of, so I can't do it. Sorry, I know it's a shtick and you don't really mean it, but I don't know that my brain could handle it.
No, I get that.
Stay in the background, and I want to love you from afar. He's so good. He's had songs inspired about him.
That's true. Siblings, what about it? If you know Bruce Campbell, you got any favorite Bruce Campbell roles? Have you got a story about meeting Bruce Campbell or something? Maybe you spotted him somewhere and you were more of a creeper than Lacey ever has been.
I left him alone, at least. I creeped on you at the convention when I paid good money to do it, and then I just looked at you from afar everywhere else. I was just stalking you, but I left you alone. I let you eat dinner.
But he always felt like there was some burning sensation in the back of his head. It was like, someone's staring at me.
Someone's stalking at me right now. Maybe he always feels that way, though.
But anyway, siblings, if you have any stories about Bruce Campbell, anything you want to share, anything you just want to talk, if you want to gush about him too, you know, your favorite roles, Lace will love to hear it. You know, I'd love to hear it too. We could all do that in Discord, or if you just want to do it over on social media at Superman Crash everywhere, send us an email if you've got something that you just want to privately share, you know, anonymously. Support the show over on Patreon, 5-star reviews on your favorite podcasting app, and keep up with everything over at pencilpaperproductions.com/supermegacrash. Links are in the show notes down below. Join us again next week, siblings, because we're gonna have some fun next week. You know, I guess. I don't know.
We'll see.
Maybe it'll be boring. But until then, go beyond your limits.
I don't know what's wrong with these kids today. Kids, who can understand anything they say? Kids, they're disobedient, disrespectful oafs, noisy, crazy, sloppy, lazy loafers. And while we're on the subject, kids, you can talk and talk till your face is blue. Kids, but they still just do what they want to do. Why can't they be like we were? Perfect in every way. What's the matter with kids today?
This has been a Pencil and Paper Podcast Network production.